Hello, it's the Reverend Ruth Bottoms here, and I'm very pleased to be sharing with you in worship for Sunday the 23rd of August while Stuart and his wife take a much needed break. And as ever, when I visit you, I bring greetings from other churches, specifically from Northall Baptist Church, where I am a member. We have been holding our services via the Zoom platform since lockdown and have been joined by friends from Caddington Baptist Church. Greetings also from Ringstead, just up the road from yourselves, who I also joined to lead worship electronically at the end of July. I thought you might be interested to know that in my role as chaplain with WLM, West London Mission, I've been working from home since mid-March. To protect the very vulnerable people we work with, we stopped any unnecessary physical visits to our various services. I've been learning how to do chaplaincy via a mixture of Zoom, WhatsApp and phone calls, as well as hugely picking up a support and wellbeing programme with our staff. Throughout, we have sought to keep our service users, staff and spaces as safe as possible. And thank God, have thus far kept the coronavirus out of our senses, whilst facing all the challenges of sourcing PPE, getting testing in care homes and hostels, and what has felt like a continually changing playing field. We're currently in the midst of discussions about when we might open our office spaces again and how we might gradually allow visits to our premises. We value your prayers. And of course, there's more information on the WLM website if you want to look it up. But as we move into our worship, let's still our hearts. In many times and places, God's people have been summoned to worship by the ringing of bells. So we compose ourselves in God's presence now, listening to these bells as we gather in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Loving God, we come once more to worship you, adding our prayers, our thoughts, our voices to the myriads of your people around the world who worship you. Whilst we are in the privacy of our own homes, come to us afresh. Remind us that we are your beloved children, part of the body of Christ with Jesus as its head. And we are indwelt by your Spirit and part of the communion of saints through all the ages. Set us free to worship you in spirit and in truth. Bind our wounds, forgive our sins, strengthen us in our faith, and equip us as your followers. And to you be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. Our Bible reading today comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning to read from verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Thanks be to God for his word. Recently, I've been listening to an audiobook, Becoming, written and read by Michelle Obama, the first African-American woman to hold the role of First Lady of the United States of America, as she stood alongside her husband, Barack Obama, as president. The book tracks her early years, education, jobs, meeting and marrying Obama, the rigors of presidential campaigning, the highs, the lows of political office, and her time for two terms in the White House, where she powerfully advocated for women and girls and healthier and more active lives. Throughout it all, Michelle tells with candour and reflective insight the challenge it has been to have so many other people's projections as to what sort of person she must be put on her. From childhood, coming from a working class neighbourhood in downtown Chicago, where some didn't expect much of anyone, all the way through to the racist, sexist jibes she endured through presidential campaigns, which seemed at times to judge her on everything and anything except who she really was. The title of the book is telling, Becoming. Throughout, it seems to me, she has sought to keep her integrity, be true to the person she knew she was and could go on growing into, with the values, the morals instilled by her parents and others and her faith. It's reminded me a bit of the poem written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer when he was in prison, or one of his poems, Who Am I?, where he wrestled with what he was, and whether that was what other prisoners saw, a pastor alongside them, what the guards saw as he stepped strongly and as they saw it tall and proudly from his cell, or what he was in terms of the fears for his future that he knew were there in his heart. This projecting onto others who we think they are, and sometimes are then wrestling for ourselves as to who we are in the light of others' projections is nothing new. It is perhaps more pronounced and public in these days of celebrity and social media. But in our gospel reading today, we have Jesus asking, "What are people saying about me?" And there's a real mix of answers. Some think he is the return of the previous celebrity preacher, namely John the Baptist. Some think he is the great prophet Elijah, who had not died but been caught up into God and who, so the story said, would return again at a crucial moment. Maybe he was Jeremiah, another of the great prophets of the time of exile, speaking to them in this time of being under Roman occupation, or maybe one of the other prophets. Pressed as to what they actually thought, Simon Peter, so often the spokesperson for the disciples, says, "You are the Messiah, or the Christ." With all that that title implied, the longed for one, the coming one, who would usher in God's reign in its fullness. And he adds, "You are the Son of the living God." Perhaps subconsciously echoing words spoken to Jesus by his father at his baptism, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus, the Son of the living God. And it remains a real question for each one of us. Who do we say Jesus is? Who has he been for us in this lockdown and pandemic time? if you like, where is God in a time of pandemic? What do we say to neighbours and friends who know of our faith that ask us that question? Who is Jesus for us? How has he come alongside us as we have stayed at home or been busy in a key working role? Our answers surely should shift and change in the new circumstances in which we find ourselves. Who has Jesus been? Who is Jesus for you today? What I find interesting is that the story then switches to Simon Peter's identity. Although the Gospel of Matthew has already frequently referred to him either as Simon Peter or just Peter, here we are explicitly told that he who was known as Simon will be known as Peter, Petros, its Greek meaning of rock. Because his confession of faith, his recognition of Jesus as the Son of the living God, is going to be foundational to the new community coming into being of those who name Jesus as Messiah. It's going to be foundational for those who will seek to follow him through the ups and downs of life ahead. I was looking at this passage in the Bible discussion group currently held on Zoom with residents of The Haven this week, one of our WLM services. And to go with the story, I had found a picture of a stained glass window in an English parish church, which is dedicated to St. Peter. And within the window, it had symbols of what we associate Peter with. Keys of the kingdom, a fishing boat, fish, and an anchor, a cockerel for those times when he denied Jesus, and an upside-down cross, referring to the tradition that he died in Rome, crucified upside down. In the discussion we had at The Haven, we liked the fact that Peter was symbolised, warts and all, his failing as well as his faith. For whatever our identity, none of us are perfect, and God knows us through and through. We went on to discuss what we would like to have if we had a stained glass window dedicated to us, having recognised, first of all, this was a fantasy and unlikely to happen. It was interesting. Where we struggled perhaps to come up with some things, others made very affirming suggestions. I was fascinated to see how others saw me as the chaplain. Someone was very quick to say, I must have a Bible and a cross in my window because, Ruth, your faith is very important to you. I'll take that. One resident initially struggled to suggest things that might represent him. And I said I would like to see a big red heart in a window to him because he is so big-hearted and kindly. A very kindly soul to all the other residents there. He smiled broadly and liked that. What would you like to see in a stained glass window dedicated to you? Yes, suspend your disbelief for a moment and imagine it. What would you like to see in windows dedicated to your loved one? The pandemic, the enforced lockdown, the still continuing restrictions have all created a context in which many of us have been left wondering who we are, questioning our identity. Many of us have felt insecure in some way or another. Uncertainties in workplaces has left people anxious. Will they have jobs and incomes further into the future? We so often find much of our identity in what we are busy doing. Relationships have perhaps flexed or changed or shifted, moving online or to more telephone calls, or they have felt under strain when we've been with the same people endlessly and not had the coming and going of normal family life. Someone I know who thought they were quite comfortable with themselves and living alone has been left thinking perhaps they're more of an extrovert than they realised and has craved contact. And then some, of course, have been given a new identity by virtue of age or underlying health conditions, being told by the state that they count as vulnerable or extremely vulnerable, with some being told they need to shield. Who am I? Perhaps for us as Christians, the question is actually, who am I in God? And my prayer is that part of the fruit of this time, for those of us who follow Jesus, is that we will have heard more deeply his affirmation of us. As we have continued to turn to him, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, I hope and pray we have heard him calling us his children, calling us sons and daughters of a loving God. I trust and pray we've heard him naming us afresh and reminded us that his names are written on the palm of his hands, and we are not forgotten. I trust and pray that we've continued to hear him calling us, whatever our context, to be a people of prayer, to be a community who has stayed in touch with one another, to be people who have a concern for the world. He still has tasks for each of us in the company of one another as God's people and in the service of God's kingdom here on earth. He still calls us to be faithful followers. Perhaps above all else, my prayer is that as Bonhoeffer ended his poem, we too may know, whatever, O Lord, thou knowest, I am thine. Amen. Let's just pause where we are for a moment of silence before I lead us further in our prayers. We thank you, O God, that we are yours, and that you knowest us through and through, better than we know ourselves, and you love us and call us and long for all that is good and fulfilling and life in its fullness for everyone. So we bring to you our concerns at this time for people and places facing challenging times. We think of all the young people who have been caught up in the issues around exam grades last week and this week, be it for A-levels or GCSEs or BTEC. For teaching staff, for schools, universities and colleges who have felt that the ground has endlessly shifted beneath them. We pray for the future of this generation of young people, that despite what they have lived through, they will have dreams that can come to fulfillment, and that the world of education around them will support them to realise those dreams, that they will discover afresh the joy of learning, even in different circumstances, and wonder at the wonder of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to remember the nation of Lebanon, and particularly the city of Beirut, as it still works to recover from what with such a catastrophic explosion. We pray that they will indeed build back better in terms of democracy, in terms of care for the vulnerable, in terms of safety in their cities and towns. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray too for the nation of Belarus, where there has been so much turmoil following the election the other week. We pray for stability to come to that nation, and again for people's voices to be heard, and local, regional, and national government to reflect the will of the people and build a good society. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for our own nation, recovering from this time of pandemic, wondering what might happen next. We pray particularly for all those who work with rough sleepers, giving thanks for initiatives that offered so many spaces in hotels, and praying that the discussions now happening about not returning to old models of day centres and night shelters, but rather learning lessons from the hotel model about how people can be given dignity and help and hope to move on into accommodation that is more permanent, how those lessons might be embedded, and the resources found to end rough sleeping in our towns and cities for good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are living directly with the consequences of the pandemic, those who mourn, those living with long-term health issues, having caught the virus and recovered but been left with a legacy, those made redundant already and those fearing redundancy as the furlough scheme comes to an end. May we as a nation continue to work and pull together to come through this in the best way possible. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our Baptist family at this time, giving thanks for the way BMS's World Mission has been working with partners overseas to assist as the pandemic has broken out throughout the different countries they work in. We pray for our national leaders and Lynn Green as General Secretary. We pray for our regional ministry team, remembering Jeff undergoing treatment for myeloma, praying for Stephen and Colin shouldering extra responsibilities. Remember Stuart and Judy on their leave and holiday at this time, praying that it might be refreshing for them. So we hold the Baptist family before you, O God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And you will have individuals who you are particularly praying for at this time, and you will know their individual circumstances. So name those before our God now in the silence. May the love of Christ take hold of them. May the light of Christ shine in their hearts. May the touch of Christ bring them wholeness. May the peace of Christ flow through them like a river. Amen. And so, as Jesus taught his disciples, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So thank you for the invitation to share worship with you in this way. I trust you have had and received blessings from God as you've shared in this simple liturgy. And I look forward to being able to visit at some point in some future. But for now, go gently into the world, knowing that God goes with you, before you, beside you, and behind you. And may the blessing of God rest upon you always. And so we say together the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.